are uncommon.
Right.
You are one of one. So when something that is common is brought together with someone who is uncommon, we get a brand new expression. We get a different dialect of the same kind of thing that we're used to seeing, but because it's different, it's received differently.
Right.
It hits different, right?
Yeah, it hit different.
It hit different. And that's the whole reason I wrote the book.
Right.
Because people have gifts and skills and talents, and they need to stop selling themselves short. Because whatever's inside of them, if they express it fully in this earth, it's going to hit different.
It's going to hit different. And it's going to...
Okay, welcome to another episode of The Big Bang, brought to you by Kingdom Culture Agency. I'm your host, Poet Presley, and I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors at Got Success. Make sure you all check out gotsuccessstore.com for everything success. Today, our episode is going to be on finding your true identity and authenticity. And I'm super excited because we have a magnificent guest today. I have the privilege and the honor to have today's episode with David Winston. Okay, David is an expert motivator, teacher, pastor, leadership mentor, and an author whose aim is to teach people to live the lives that they were born to have and to succeed God's way. Okay, since 2009, David has been a pastor for Go Hard for Christ Youth Ministry with Living Word Christian Center. He's a worldwide director of Bill Winston Ministries as well, which is super iconic, super amazing. It's such a privilege to have David here. And with that, his one of his sole goals is planning and advancing the kingdom of God in people's hearts around the world. So this is a global mission that we have here. He also received his honorary doctorate in Christian business leadership from the United Graduate College and Seminary International. In 2020, David also created and launched the Winston Leadership Institute, which is a 12-week online e-course designed to develop the confidence and competence in leaders. He's recently published his new book. You all can see it right there. Authentic, the confidence to be yourself, the courage to release your greatness. So I need you all to make sure you're taking notes today, because he's going to drop key jewels in your spirit to reveal that greatness that's already been planned from the beginning of time within you, right? He's also the son of Dr. Bill and Veronica Winston, and together his wife, and together him and his wife, Nikki, have four beautiful children. I'm super thankful to be here with David today. We've been super blessed to partner with him. David, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Poet, welcome, 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 and thank you. Welcome to my neck of the woods. We over here, you know, hanging out. But I want to thank you so much for having me on this Big Bang podcast. It's just a pleasure. It's an honor. And I thank you, sir, for everything you do, for helping people like me get the word out.
And it's a privilege. And I'm super excited. I tell a lot of the guests all the time, when I'm doing that bio, I might not get you right all the way, but look, you so phenomenal and so great. I'm trying my best to make sure that I let our viewers know that we have a big bang on the Big Bang today, right?
Man, you did a great job.
So I want to get right into it, right? I want to go into details about tapping into your true spiritual identity. So exploring the concepts of just discovering and embracing your God-given identity. How did that happen for you? When did you first discover, like, oh man, this is what I need to do? And just even more tapping into what makes you authentic to express that.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I believe that identity is always born out of what you identify with.
Right, right, right.
And so, you know, whatever it is that you identify with in life, that's going to begin to form your identity. You know, it always would make me scratch my head, and I just can't understand it, even though I know some people live this lifestyle. I can't understand when people, like, they do things to even alter their bodies because they think they're an animal. You know, and so, you know, we've seen those kind of things happen in society where they think they're an animal because that is what they identify with. And so their identity is informed by what they identify with. And so I think for me and for a lot of us, especially those of you all who are listening to this, who are believers, you know, when we identify with God, when we identify with Christ, that is how we start to put our identity in Christ and find our identity in Christ. And so I think for me, you know, a lot of growing up, I identified as a believer. You know, I grew up in the church, right? Grew up as a PK or pastor's kid.
So
I knew a lot of church world, right? Yeah. But I didn't identify as a leader. I didn't identify myself as someone who was a pastor because for my story, I didn't want to be a pastor growing up. I wanted to be a cardiologist.
I thought
that Bill and Veronica Winston were doing a phenomenal job at leading church. I was like, you know, God doesn't need another Winston, you know, in there. But I didn't identify with the ministry gift. I didn't think that that was what God had put inside of me. But the more I grew in God, God spoke to my heart, you know, in my freshman year, excuse me, my senior year at Oral Roberts University, spoke to my heart, called me in a full-time ministry, and the rest was history. I thought I was supposed to be a cardiologist poet, but what God spoke to my heart is he said, I have called you to be a heart surgeon, but not in the way you think. I've called you to be a spiritual heart surgeon,
right?
To do spiritual heart surgery in the hearts of men, women, and children, to bring them back to me. And it was in that moment that the thing that I identified with shifted.
Right.
And so now that identity changed and I started to identify myself as a spiritual leader and eventually as a pastor and someone who does spiritual heart surgery to be able to help people find purpose and calling and a new life in Christ.
And David, I'm super excited because just and make sure you all pick up his book. We're going to really go into details where you can find that. But as reading your book, right, you open it up with working with one of the high schools. I think it was a high school on the west side of Chicago, right, with the 16-year-old guy, right? And that's when your spiritual eyes would open even more, right? Yeah. But even with that, you also tapped into going into the detail saying that you can never fulfill like your dad's purpose, but he can't fulfill yours because you're called to do what you're called to do.
That's right.
Yeah. Touch on that a little more because, you know, I think oftentimes people have a lot of people around them or whether it's their parents or their mentors or certain leaders who they're looking up to and they're phenomenal and they're great, but you're great when you discover your identity, right? And you have great things that no one can do what you're going to do, right?
Yeah. And so I think a lot of times what happens, especially in our culture now, because we have so much access to everyone's life, right? I was just looking at you on social media. You do a phenomenal job in Kingdom Culture Agency, does a phenomenal job. But we have so much access to other people's lives that we tend to get ourselves into identity confusion, right? And because of that, I think what we start to do is find ourselves drifting, hoping that we find purpose rather than purposefully encountering a divine purpose. And what I mean by that is I believe that the more we discover who we are and who God has made us as specific individuals, the more we will actually find ourselves encountering purpose.
Almost
as if purpose starts to find us. And, you know, I think a lot of times the pursuit of purpose is done backwards. You know, people are looking for the what.
I was about to touch on that.
But if they discover the who is who has God created you to be? What are you passionate about? What really bothers you? What motivates you? What gets you going? If you really tend to discover that and dig deep into that, you'll be able to discover some what. Some what things, you know, what are you supposed to do? What can you do with this gift and passion that you have? Right. Even some hidden gifts and passions that you might have. Mm. And so the what is important, but the who is the thing that starts the journey of the what. And that's what I found, is that I had to discover, like, okay, who am I?
Right.
I know my name is David Samuel Winston. That's my government name. But, you know, but like, who am I? Like, I'm not just Bill and Veronica's son.
Right, no.
I am my own person, but I have to discover, like, who am I? What motivates me? What do I gravitate to? What am I passionate about? What bothers me that there's a solution that I feel like needs to be expressed in the earth? And I think a lot of times people take that for granted. You know, we just kind of couple that all into, oh, I'm just complaining, or I'm just having a bad day. Mm. But if something bothers you over and over and over again, you got to explore that. You got to ask why. People don't ask enough why questions. You know what I'm saying? Like, just ask, like, why does this always bother me?
Right.
And dig into that, because you might find a what.
Yeah. And even how you say that, even in your book, you go into detail about being a strategist, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you are saying that oftentimes you may have been seeing yourself as being negative, right?
Yeah.
It's like, man, why am I always seeing a problem? But you turn it in is that you're not seeing a problem. You're a problem solver. You're looking for solutions, right?
That's right.
Right?
That's
you exactly said that, right?
And that's exactly right. And you know, my wife, she's big into personality types, right?
So she's
done a lot of study on it. And depending on, you know, what kind of test and what kind of method you're looking at, there's different kind of categorizations. But one of the categorizations that I kind of identified with as I took the test was a more melancholy personality. Mm. Now, I don't let that box me in, but I think those kinds of things are good as tools to help indicate kind of how you are, maybe some of your proclivities or your tendencies. Mm. And one of those tendencies is actually tending to see the risk or the negative in a situation.
Right.
And I think part of the battle that we have as believers is, if we're not careful, we'll look at some of the things about us and let the enemy whisper in our ears that these are negative things that people will never know, never understand, never like about you. This is something bad about you. This is a flaw about you. But what we have to remember is God created us on purpose.
Right.
There's no accident, right? There's no accident in how you were created. Now, I know that we can go through life and have different traumas and different situations, maybe be born into bad environments that maybe have a tendency to have a negative effect on us. But poet, the way you were created is the way you were created.
Right.
You can't help the way you see the world.
Right.
And neither do you have to apologize for seeing the world that way. What you need to do is discover why you see the world that way.
Right.
And not stop at just your own interpretation or understanding, but ask God to give you some more divine insight on how you see it. Because as I saw it, I was like, okay, you know, I don't want to just be a negative person, but as you just kind of alluded to, but it's the one who sees the problem that can also be the problem solver.
Right.
I learned that some people who can't see a problem can't provide a solution for a problem that they don't know exists.
Right.
And if I understand the problem exists, I also can be anointed and empowered by God to bring divine solutions that help people.
Come on. Yeah. And there's that balance. Even as I was reading your book, right, I was taking different scenarios in my mind, just even how you were talking about, okay, why am I seeing problems? But you're really a problem solver. So it's like, there's certain personality traits that we have within us, right? That's going to propel us to fulfilling our purpose and our destiny, whatever our gift is, right? Yeah. Whatever you have been uniquely designed with from God, it's a gift that other people can benefit from, right? I want to touch on the importance of realizing that you were chosen by God for a specific person, everybody. What's the importance by knowing that no matter where you're at right now, no more matter what you're doing, whatever your place is, whether you come from a less fortunate background or you come from a very well-off background, right? Knowing that in whatever position you're in, there's a purpose before you were born, right?
That's right.
That you have that God wants to be glorified through what you do.
Yep, absolutely. You know, poet, my dad says something, one of my favorite quotes that he says, and I heard him say it, I think, first when we were in a different country. I think we might have been in Africa. And he said this: no one can sneak into the back door of earth.
Yeah.
I said, man, that's good, Dad. Nobody can sneak into the back door of earth. Like nobody was an accident and nobody snuck in. Everybody was a calculated decision. Now, you just hit on something that sometimes people are born into different conditions, right? Maybe they're born into a condition where you may say, well, they got a leg up on life. And somebody else is born into adverse conditions that you say, like, man, that's a really challenging place or background or family or situation you've been born into. And I know, you know, we work with some of those youth who are born into some of those challenging situations. But as you hear success stories of people who've done major and mega things
good
in life.
Success.
Come on, good success. That's right. You always hear them say, you know, when somebody asks them, hey, well, you know, if you could change anything, would you take it back? Would you change the challenge or the background you had or how you had to grow up? And a lot of times people would say no. Because they said that because of that, I am who I am. And I think people often discount where they are, the position that they've been born into, or the place that they've been planted. They discount that and they think it's a disadvantage. Now, I'm not here to say that those challenging circumstances are a blessing, because there are really bad circumstances sometimes that people need to get out of. But what I am here to say is encourage somebody that if they find themselves in a place that's challenging, know that God works through the challenges to help develop us into the person eventually that we were created to be.
Right.
Because we can't ultimately have a purpose that affects humanity in the most potent way without having to go through a maturation process.
Come on, Doc.
Right? We all have to go through a maturation process. We have to mature into the person that ultimately we're divinely destined to be. And as we do that, we actually encounter the right kinds of purpose. We encounter those things that God originally designed for us to do, whether it be in arts and entertainment, whether it be in marketing, whether it be in sports, whether it be in government, politics, education, maybe it's in other business arenas. You know, we've all been designed for those specific purposes, but it is often born out of who we have become as a byproduct of the struggle that we've had to endure.
Right. Look, as you're flowing right now, it's so many thoughts coming to my mind. Just even how you said that, right? Because you have to be before you become. I think a lot of people focus on that end state, knowing that, and this is transitioning us right now, because with being authentic, right? You have to know who you are. God says that we're the head and not the tail, right? That we're first, never last, that we're the loner, not the borrower, right? So I think you have to know who you are. In your book, you was referencing, I think it was Jeremiah chapter 1, maybe verse 6, right? And you were just in your womb, in your mother's womb, who I've called you to be, right?
Yeah.
But with that being said, right, I want to touch on that a little bit, like your identity, because if I know that I'm supposed to be the head everywhere I go, not the tail, it doesn't matter. I just thought about this. Even when you started out, you know, with the ministry, janitor, right?
That's right.
But even then, you can be the head and not the tail.
That's right.
Right? Tell me about that.
The head and not the tail is not necessarily dictated by my outside manifestation.
Come on.
It starts with a mindset first.
Mm.
You know, being on the top starts with a mindset first.
Right.
And a lot of people I know, you know, even outside of, you know, the religious or faith-based space, they talk about that. Right. Understanding and knowing that your mindset is important.
Right.
You know, something that I teach, especially through my online Leadership Institute, I teach that ability is always buried under mentality. And mentality always creates the lid of your ability, that you can be the best basketball player. You can be the most innovative inventor. You can have the best ideas to be able to really bring innovation somewhere.
Yeah.
However,
okay,
that ability is always buried under mentality. So if you don't think that, oh, I I'm somebody who could be significant, or you don't think, oh, I'm not somebody who they'll want on their team, or you don't think that, you know, you're somebody who would be chosen by a team or a corporation, or you don't think that people won't, you know, they won't buy into my idea. You, Poe, you can have the best idea, the best idea of 2024.
Right. Come on.
But if you don't think that your ideas are worth listening to, you won't even have the courage to tell somebody.
Well, tell me the title of the book one more time. Make sure they're paying attention.
Authentic, the confidence to be yourself, the courage to release your greatness. And that's what it takes. It takes courage to be able to release that greatness, to be able to release the things that God has deposited inside of you. And I think that's where identity really comes into play. And what you said, that, you know, that scripture that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above only and not beneath, that we have to understand that that right there has to be a mindset that is hardwired into us. And if we have grown up in circumstances that are adverse circumstances that have tried to talk us out of our significance,
come on,
then through the word of God, we need to retrain and reprogram our mindset.
Come on.
So when we get to opportunities, we don't self-sabotage. I mean, I've seen people pass up opportunities that God custom created for them.
You talked about that in the book.
Oh yeah. I've seen people pass it up and say, oh, this would be good for somebody else. Or, oh, you need to talk to somebody else. But no, no. God set that up for you. But if you don't think you are good enough, if you don't think that you're significant enough or worthy enough for the opportunity, you will unknowingly pass it up.
Come on. Come on. You are. I'm super blessed to be here right now.
You got me excited, man.
I'm super thankful because you're flowing right now, and it, I told you it's multiple things that's popping up as you continue to talk. Right. The first thing that I wanted to elaborate on, right, is even in the word, you can be saved. And once you accept that salvation, you have to do what? You have to renew your mind. You could be saved, but come on, now it something has to take place in your mind, right? Yep. You have to learn this law, ambassador, right? You come on, man.
And poet, I heard one man say it like this. Salvation is free, right? Because God gave that as a free gift through Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the renewing of your mind, that costs.
Yeah.
That is something that God won't do for you. God won't renew your mind for you.
Right.
You have to be disciplined. He's going to help you.
Yeah.
But you have to be disciplined to renew your mind, to change or alter the way you see yourself and you see things.
Yeah.
You have to subscribe to God's method of thinking.
Okay.
And that's what being the head and not the tail is.
Right.
It's not just about how much money you got in your bank account. However, when you have a head mindset, when you have a I'm above mindset and not trying to be arrogant,
No.
But when you have a confidence, it doesn't have to be loud or showy. Confidence can be quiet and strong.
Right.
When you have that confidence, you will continue to rise in life because your belief system, or excuse me, let me say it this way.
Come
your
on.
Thinking is just your belief system being exposed.
Okay.
And your thinking will always bring you to the place where it can express itself the most.
Yeah.
So if you're on the bottom of life, it's because you think you should be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. If you're on the top in life, it's guaranteed because you think you should be there.
Right.
You think you should be there. Yeah. And your life will bring you to the place where it can expose that thought pattern the most.
I just felt chills right now, but you know what I was thinking? As a man thinketh in his heart,
that's what it says.
Is he.
That's what
you just said.
Yep, that's what the word says. Come on.
Look, so I'm telling you all right now, if you hadn't taken out the notepad or opened up the iPhone and start taking notes, we're dropping jewels right now on the Big Bang. You need to pay attention. So now what I want to go to is that it's always even not that simplistic or simple, because in the book, we're going to keep referencing this book, right?
Yep.
In the book, you talked about the first time your dad called you to preach, right?
Oh,
and you
man.
Were trying to give every excuse not to do it, right?
Man.
Right? Right?
Man, I was giving all the excuses. Bro, I was in the toy aisle at Target.
I still
remember where I was.
You ever
had a moments where you remember where you were when it happened? I was in the toy aisle. My dad called me. I answered the phone. Hey, Dad, what's going on? It's like, son, I'm going to be out, you know, next week on Wednesday night. I want you to bring the word. And, you know, I kind of stuttered for a second. I was like, and I had just started a new series. And we had youth service on Wednesday nights back then. And so I had just started a new series. But, you know, it was about media and about, you know, just what we let in our heart and that kind of thing. And so I was telling him about it. I said, you know, we just started the series and I really feel like it's more geared toward youth and I don't know how to translate, you know, for adults. And you know what he did? Wait. He didn't coddle me.
Yeah.
You know, you would think, oh, okay, son. Well, it's okay. He said, nope. He said, I rebuke that spirit of fear and you will deliver the word and it's going to be powerful. And I had no way out at that moment.
Yeah.
I said, well, I think this is more of a declaration than a question.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, here we go. And let me tell you, poet, I tell you no lie. To this day, I still get members who, you know, were part of the church years ago.
And this is a decade ago.
This was like 12 years ago. And they still remember that message. I mean, and they still talk about how that message bless them, talking about, you know, some things that weren't necessarily traditionally preached about, you know, from the pulpit. And it just blessed me to know that because of my courage, somebody else heard a message that they had never heard before.
Right.
And I just want to talk to somebody just for a second. Come who's on. Listening to this, who's watching this. What if somebody is waiting on encountering something that they've never encountered before? And they're waiting to encounter it from you. Your gift, your message, your expression. And sometimes, poet, we think that because what we do is common, we think that, oh, you know, it'll just kind of go into the abyss of the commonality of this thing, of this industry, right?
Right.
You know, a teacher who says, well, I feel like I'm supposed to teach, but that's so common. There's millions of people who have taught before and do teach, but yet you are uncommon.
Right.
You are one of one. So when something that is common is brought together with someone who is uncommon, we get a brand new expression. We get a different dialect of the same kind of thing that we're used to seeing, but because it's different, it's received differently.
Right.
It hits different, right?
Yeah, it hit different.
It hit different. And that's the whole reason I wrote the book.
Right.
Because people have gifts and skills and talents, and they need to stop selling themselves short.
Mm.
Because whatever's inside of them, if they express it fully in this earth, it's going to hit different.
It's going to hit different.
And it's going to be somebody's future favorite. Like somebody one day is going to say, you're my favorite teacher.
Right.
I know there's dozens of teachers I've had, but you, Miss Smith, you're my favorite. And it's at that moment that we have a level of influence in people's lives, that we can not only be a blessing to them with our gift, but we can reflect God's glory through us.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't change my tone. I'm like, yeah. Look, yeah. You're influenced.
Say la.
Yeah. And you... And you know what I'm thinking about, though? Man, that's so powerful. Hallelujah. That's so powerful. Because I'm thinking about, it doesn't even matter what you do. You could be the janitor.
I mean,
McDonald's.
For real.
Because that ain't even going to be your source. I tell people, check the source, right?
Because
you can be doing those things.
Yeah.
And that increase and that wealth, it'll flow to you.
Man, poet, can I flow for a second?
Come on, yeah.
See, what you're hitting on is something that I ministered a couple Sundays ago. My dad was in India,
I
ministered in his stead, and I talked about faithfulness.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, faithfulness and purpose, like, they run hand in hand, right? Because what you just described is something that, and if I could use the term sexy, it doesn't seem very sexy, right?
Right.
But I think a lot of times what God does is he creates opportunities for us to be faithful going to be faithful.
Right.
To allow us to have an opportunity to be promoted.
Yeah.
And when I talk about promotion, I'm not just talking about at a job. I'm talking about God promoting with maybe a different opportunity or more exposure or greater income or whatever that looks like. But faithfulness always creates divine opportunities for exposure and promotion. That's how God works it. And I think sometimes because because we're so ready to be put on. We're so ready for the larger audience. And hey, nothing wrong with the larger audience. Nothing wrong with, you know, charging for your talent and you know, for your aptitude. But we're so ready for the more.
Right.
That we forsake the necessity of the now.
Yeah.
Of being faithful in little, because it's a kingdom principle that he who is faithful in little, I will bless him with more. I will give him more opportunity. I will allow him to be ruler over more. You know, what we could say in our culture now is ruler over more. I'll allow him to be an influencer that touches many. I'll allow her to have a level of influence that speaks to the industry.
Look, I've been talking to people all season long. I need that big bang button. What you just said right now, that was that big bang button. Season two, I'm coming with that big bang button.
Come on, come
now,
with
power
it.
Of, and you know another thing that I was thinking about, though, is that even now, this is the content creation era. You know, everyone wants to be a content creator. What, Matt, do you know God is the ultimate creator? And I was thinking that even now, how we're having all these content creators, God's making such a powerful impact throughout the world. People don't even realize. They just imitating God.
That's all they're doing.
That's all they're doing.
Because success ultimately comes from him. And when we talk about
success.
Good success, the thing that makes it good success, it was done and gotten God's way. It was done by God's principles and it's lasting. See, the world can achieve just a level of success because even using biblical principles but trying to extract God out of it, just using biblical principles to have business kind of success, you can have a level of success because the principles that it and the person that the principles came from, which is the creator God,
come on,
they're strong enough on their own to help you get to a level of success. However, when you extract God from it, you don't have that divine power necessary
to
overcome the obstacles that come. And so because of that, when obstacles come that aren't necessarily on a balance sheet, but maybe things might come against your body, things might come against your family, things might come against your mind. There's spiritual attacks that come against you. You have to have the Almighty God and the power of God at work to be able to come against those things so that you can get victory. So good success is lasting success because it's really divine success.
Hallelujah. Because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, right? So it may come. Oh, man, I feel the presence right now. You're flowing. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. You're dropping the jewels right now. They're going to pay attention. And God, we just give you the glory. And I want to transition a little bit to talk about the importance. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Man, that was so powerful what you just said. The importance about when you're tapping into authenticity, right? The power of faith and belief, because you have to walk by faith when you're walking into your true identity, because even what we've been called into, it's a spiritual nature. Everything you're talking about, we work from that higher level, that 4D, right? We're there, but in the 3D, but we're there, right? I want to talk about the importance of faith and belief while discovering or embracing your true identity.
You know, there's a scripture that says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10,
come on,
that we are God's workmanship,
right.
created in Christ Jesus, you know, born for good works. And one translation says that we may glorify him and that we may walk the path that he has preordained and made ready for us to live. That word workmanship, it actually comes from a Greek word, poema, where we get our English word poem.
Right.
Come on, poet.
Come on.
You know, so we get our word poem, but that word also means artistic achievement. Rather, crowning artistic achievement or masterpiece, and that God has created us as his masterpiece. Now, here's where the faith element comes in, right? Is that we have to believe that we are God's masterpiece.
Right.
We have to have faith in his creation. Not that we're putting faith in our own works, but we're putting faith in God's divine creation as his created poet, as he's created David, as he's created you who's listening. you have to have faith and believe that not only did God not make a mistake, this was purposeful.
Right.
And the purposeful intention behind it was to put inside of you such a gift that the full expression of that gift, people wouldn't help but be able to give God glory. And I think that's where the faith element comes in, because it takes a level of faith to believe that you have a purpose, that you have a gift, that you have skills. You might look around you and be like, well, I haven't done anything significant in life, poet. Like, I haven't done anything yet.
Right.
How can you say that there's such strong and significant things with inside of me? And what I say is that what you have to do is you have to walk by faith. You have to allow God to use those gifts inside of you. Now, what does that look like?
Come on.
Well, that looks like, even though I don't qualify for this thing or this position, I'm going to fill out this application because I feel like God is leading me to it. Even though I don't have a lot of formal education and training, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to write this business plan. Even though I might not have the connections in the media industry, I'm just going to follow God and I'm going to record this demo right here. And I'm going to sing, I'm going to, you know, use my gift, or I'm going to produce, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to innovate, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something outside of myself as I am led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Because if I stay here in this mediocrity, I won't see the greatness that God put inside of me come out. And a lot of times that's what faith is, right? Faith is taking the first step, even though you don't see the rest of the staircase.
Okay. Come on, MLK.
Come on. Come on. Faith is believing that there is an end result that's going to be better than the thing that I see, even though I can't see the end result right now.
Right.
And I think a lot of times is it, what happens is as we're kind of going through life, we're navigating in response mode. We're responding to the stimuli that we see or that our mind gathers to tell us the story of if we're significant or not, if we should take this risk or not.
Right.
But faith isn't a logical response. Faith is a spiritual response and a declaration of your dependence on God. So when he brings you to an opportunity or stirs something in your heart, faith is stepping out in it, on it, doing it, and meeting God at the place of what he's told you to do with your obedience.
Right.
And that's the only way that you can start to experience something that is much different than what you may have seen already.
Right, right. And you know what's super important, what a lot of people may not even know about you or recognize, right? A lot of things you've received it by faith, your first car or whatever, right? Your dad brought you up on that, and they might not even realize that, but you really have developed that faith muscle. That's how I look at it. Like, you have to use it, right?
Man.
To be at the level to get what you want, right? What are you about to say?
Oh, you are speaking my language, man. And that's what I call it. I call it the faith muscle. And you have to exercise it, right? And you're so right. I mean, I remember before my wife and I, so my first book was a boys devotional wife, we co-authored. And we did it together. And let me tell you, before we even wrote those, I wrote that book, I wrestled with it because I didn't know if I had what it takes to write a book. And if I could just be transparent, you know, with you and the audience,
please.
Growing up, you know, I was always a great student, but I wasn't a great student because I was, you know, so smart. You know, I always got really annoyed with them kids that like didn't study, but would get straight A's because they were just brilliant. I was like, man, whatever. And so, but you know, I studied, I was really studious, but you know, English, writing, reading, even though I got good grades, it was one of my hardest subjects. It was one of those subjects that didn't come near as naturally. You know, some people are more math and science. Some people are more creative. You know, you have those things that come naturally. I was on the polar opposite of that thing. It didn't come natural. So because of that, I think the enemy tried to set up a stronghold in my mind that would try to tell me this narrative, this story that I wasn't good at this area. So I shouldn't venture out into that space. And let's be honest, we all have those spaces and places in our mind that are like those old school gates that had that sign that said, beware or keep out dog, here, you know, dog, you shouldn't go there.
Come on.
And so like the enemy tries to set up like a yard dog in our mind. mind to try to keep us out of that place in that space that maybe God might want to use us the most. And so I wrestled because I thought, like, I don't know how to write a book. I'm not really a good writer. Like, I don't know how this will go. And so I actually had to reorient my mind or do something we talked about, right? Reprogramming according to something that God spoke to me. He told me to write this down one day about 6 years ago. It was a morning. I was getting ready for to preach. And he told me to write this down. I am a gifted author, speaker, and communicator of the gospel and of wisdom. I am being led to and being used to lead revival in this nation and in this generation. I'm a world-renowned leader and a next generation general of faith. Now, I didn't feel like a world renowned leader. I didn't have no leadership institute. I didn't feel like a great and accomplished author. I had no books. But yet I had to instill that level of thinking that would allow me to venture into that space where the yard dog was. That space that was mentally walled off or fenced off. And as I continued to declare that, this opportunity to write that first book actually came to us. Now, I've had to deal with that my own battle I talked about earlier about not giving God's divine opportunities to someone else because I have a low self-image. And so that opportunity came. I was tempted to be able to put on some of my other pastor friends, right? Like, oh, you should talk to this person. They'll be a good author for this. I prayed about it. God said, do it. And he said, tell him I'm only going to do it if I can co-write it with my wife. We did it together. And let me tell you, poet, by the grace of God, I think that thing is sold well over 20,000 copies right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and to his glory. But look what God did. Look how many people were blessed by my obedience.
Right, right, right. You talked about that though.
And people are always so blessed by your obedience, but I think God was able to do something supernatural because I knew it had to be all of him.
That's all the time.
And not me. And I think what happens is God is counting on us to give him more access to our lives, especially in the areas that we feel like we're deficient.
Yes.
I mean, what did Moses say? He said in the scriptures,
come on,
but I can't speak.
I stutter.
The people won't listen to me. You got 3 million people out there. They don't want to hear what I have to say. What did God say? He said, who made your mouth? He wasn't looking for excuses. He wasn't looking for explanations of past iterations and experiences. He was looking for availability. And I think we limit the power of God when we make ourselves not available to be used.
Yeah.
When we declare that because of our insufficiencies, God, you can't use us. Therefore, I take my availability off the table. And I don't allow God to do something supernatural through and despite my deficiencies. I need somebody to just say yes. And that's what that's why I wrote this book. If somebody could just say yes to being used by God, even despite the deficiencies, something supernatural can happen that will go beyond anything that you ever could have imagined would happen in your own power.
Hallelujah. And you know what I was thinking about is I was going to go into next. It's like, okay, once you start to tap into that, how do we, I guess, progress past the doubt and fear or how do we become resilient in discovering our true selves, right? But you open up the book with a decree. That's the first thing you told me to do. 7 days, look in the mirror, say this, right? I don't know exactly. We can pull it up, but I'm asking, how do we overcome and get to the point to where you can be that, what God's called you to be? So I want you to touch on just the importance of the different exercises, because you give multiple exercises. So not only are you going through telling people who they are and helping them identify themselves with the word of God, but then you allow them to work their faith, right? So you're giving them exercises to do touch on the importance of some of the exercises that you're giving people to tap into their true identity by, you know, expressing their authenticity.
Sure. I think to highlight the significance of that, I want to tell just a brief story and something that I actually put in the book. By now, we all know who LeBron James is, basketball player worldwide known. If you don't know who he is, where have you been? And he's doing something amazing, right? Playing in his 21st year as of this recording, 21st year in the NBA and still playing at a high level, right? But he wasn't always the player that he is right now. And I think he learned early on that mindset really matters, especially even as an athlete. And it was prior to the 2012-2013 season with, I believe he was with the Miami Heat. Prior to that season, he wanted to do better as a three-point shooter. And so he hired this sports psychologist to really help him understand the mindset behind getting better because he knew he needed to elevate that part of his game to really continue to move forward as a champion. And so what this psychologist did, sports psychologist, is he had him tell the video team over at the team, he said, hey, put together a 12-minute video that has all kinds of three-point shots being made. And so it had LeBron doing spot-up shots, shots off the dribble, fadeaway three-pointers, contested three-pointers, and making them. And so this is a 12-minute video that they compiled. And then the psychologist said, okay, I want you to watch this video every night before you go to bed. They said, put some background music to it, get some tracks of some of your favorite songs so you associate, some good feelings with it. But I want you to watch it every night. And so he had to watch it every night for months. But then he was also told to go in the gym and put some work in, right? And so he had to shoot a certain number of three-point shots every day, put that work in. But wouldn't you know it, that following season, he had one of the best three-point shooting seasons of his career. And actually, he lifted his three-point field goal shooting percentage up 7 points from the previous year, up 7 percentage points, which is a lot.
A lot.
If you're talking about basketball and shooting percentage, especially for how much they shoot. And so that was significant. Did that happen on accident? No. But LeBron started to understand that in order to succeed or up your performance in a different area, you have to see yourself performing well in that area. You have to hardwire, you have to reprogram that software programming of the subconscious. And that's what he started to do, watching those videos. And so what I just told about that story about me talking about being a gifted author and speaker and communicator. I had to reprogram some things inside of me. And the exercises in the book are simple. They're just there to help you reprogram yourself. You're programming yourself for performance instead of deficiency. That's simply what it is. And as you go through those exercises, I'm not saying that you're going to see overnight success. But what I do know is that when you reprogram something, the program will only run according to how it's programmed to run. When you reprogram it, it's going to run differently. You just have to let the program play out. And so as you speak to yourself, you speak over yourself, you change your perspective about yourself, you start to identify yourself with other and different things. Don't identify yourself with losing and losers. You want to identify yourself with winning and winners.
For sure.
But as you do that, it'll now change things. I have one more basketball example and then I'll stop.
Man, do your thing.
My kids love basketball. Basketball's huge in our house. We were watching the documentary with the USA basketball team. I think the Redeem team, and they were interviewing all the players, and obviously Kobe's passed. Rest in peace, Kobe. But he had such a profound impact on the next generation of players, and Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. They talk about how his impacted them. And even though they were still young in their careers, they talk about they were at the club, they were hanging out, they were partying, you know, living the life. And then they were coming back to the hotel. It was like maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. They were getting in the elevator and they see Kobe. Mm-hmm. He's fully dressed. He's got his bag on. And they said, you know, Kobe said, oh, where y'all come from? Oh, yeah, we were coming from the club. And they asked Kobe, where are you going? It's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And he says, it's time to get to work. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to the gym. Mm-hmm. Because this is what it takes to win, right? Mm-hmm. And what Kobe said upon joining that Olympic team, and he said in some not so nice words, but he said, I'm tired of watching y'all lose. And I think Kobe understood the assignment that summer, that it was time to teach these guys what it takes to win and keep winning at a high level. The mindset that it takes. Now we call it, you know, the Mamba mentality, right? Yeah. But that was the mindset. And each one of these guys who are Hall of Fame guys, LeBron will be a first ballot a Hall of Famer. He talks about it was that kind of mindset that taught them how to have, what you call it? Good success.
Good success. And even how you say that, everything you're saying, right? The first thing that popped into my mind is, meditate on my law day and night, and then you'll have what?
Good success,
right? So it's like LeBron may have been, now this is practical. LeBron may have been watching those videos because look, a lot of these scholars, and I'm even thinking about Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, right?
Yep.
You have to have your definite chief of aim, and then you must say this multiple times a day, right?
Yes. Yep.
They're really taking God principle, right?
The same principle.
Faith will work for anyone if you can apply it. That's what they've done, right? But I'm even thinking about it like that is when you take that and you reprogram that mind and you focus on it, whatever you focus on is going to come, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's exactly what you're saying. And I want to look at it from a business perspective, right? So let's just say we have viewers right now who have a business or want to start a business. Why is it important for them to tap into the power of authenticity?
I think the first part, you know, whenever you're starting a new project, new business, new endeavor, is to understand that that this business, this project, it's going to take on a persona, right?
Right.
And that is going to come from you as the head, as the creator.
It's really a spirit.
You know, it's going to take on your spirit.
Really.
And I think often what we have to do is we have to start with the end in mind. I think Stephen Covey, you know, he talks about that in one of his books. Yeah, start with the end in mind. Because vision is what one man says is the mother of discipline. And vision will help you stay disciplined and locked in as long as you can see where this is going.
Yeah.
And so for anybody who's writing a business plan, looking to get into a new business venture, I have one word of advice.
Come on.
You ready?
Yeah.
It's going to be deep.
Come on.
Don't think small.
Oh man, you touched about that in the book. That's a whole. Come
on. Think big.
Yeah.
Now I know there's a lot of different
that was chapter
reasons.
Seven.
That's chapter seven.
By the way.
Good man. And I know there might be a lot of reasons why maybe you should, you know, think small. Maybe other people haven't done anything significant around you. Maybe you don't know any business owners, or maybe you're looking at the condition of the world. You're like, I don't have connections. I don't have money and resources.
Right.
Nobody asked
you.
You need
faith.
You need faith. And you know what somebody told me one time? They said, you might as well think big.
Yeah.
Because thinking small and thinking big both take the
same
amount
energy.
Of energy.
Yeah.
So you might as well think big if you're going to think.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, that's really good. And thinking big will allow you to start with the end in mind. That even though we may start small, like a seed starts small, right?
Right.
You have an apple tree. It came from a seed.
Right.
You have a forest. Came from seeds. You can have a forest that came from seeds that can fit in both of our hands. But yet, it's a huge forest.
Right.
There's so much potential locked up in the seed. And whenever you're writing a business plan, starting a new business adventure, it's a seed, but it's meant to grow, especially if you give it to God and allow him to help you and do it through you.
Yeah. Okay. I've been super blessed by this episode, man. I'm so turned up. I'm so excited. And thank you. I know I've said that over and over, but it's been such a huge privilege. So this is what I want to ask you next, right? I have more questions. Is that okay? If we can give the viewers one thing from yourself about authenticity, tapping into that power and finding their true identity, right? What would you tell them? And I was about to say why, but just what would you tell them? Whatever. What is this last message that we want to leave the viewers with that we can, like, you know,
sink our teeth in?
Come on.
Yeah. I'll say this. To be authentic would be to have integrity of the heart. I like what Brené Brown says about transparency and courage. She says that courage is having the power to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. And being transparent, it's a power. Being who you are, authentically who God has created you to be, not just who the world's culture would inform you to be and call it authenticity. When I mean authenticity, I'm talking about who God originally created you to be. There is a power that you unlock when you are naturally you. There is a frequency that's distributed that goes out that people may not be able to put their finger on it. They may not even have language for it. But they know that there is something genuine that you're putting out that I believe that God has created it to be like a magnet. It's gravitational. It pulls other people's interests. And when we are who we've been created to be, we allow people the opportunity to discover what they've been looking for. Your authentic expression, it's an answer for somebody. It's a solution to somebody. Somebody's been looking for what you carry, but they just don't know the face behind the gift. And when we express our authentic selves, we allow people to be able to identify that that's what I've been looking for. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, what you sound like, your proclivities, how you've been born or raised, where you come from. I'm not talking about any of that as a deterrent to being who you are. But when you are who you are, you truly allow God's glory to be shown through you. And I think at the foundation of all of it, that's what it's about. When we're who we are, God's glory is allowed to be on full display. And when we hide who we are, we unknowingly conceal God's glory. Don't hide who you are. Allow God's glory to be shown through you.
Okay.
Was that what you were looking for, Paul?
Man, that's what I wanted.
We need the button.
Man. But, you know, as we wrap up, the first episode we shot was The Secret Hidden Power of Faith. And Robert Wilson, he's the owner of Alpha Moving and Storage.
Okay.
And he was like, man, poet, we need that Big Bang button. And I was like, all right, you keep calling it. It's going to come. We don't have it. As soon as he says that, a train goes by and it's like, like, you can't make this up. And then we're just in the studio. I'm like, alright, you just called it for him. You heard that, right? And everyone's in there, they're going crazy. They're like, man, wait till they see this, right? But it's been such a privilege and an honor to have you on today. And everything that you are able to express and just share about the book. We was going into the book a little bit, but we didn't even touch on it. It's like we did, but we didn't. But I pray and I hope that people definitely buy this book. They need to purchase it. Tell us where we can find you and where we can get the book.
Sure. I'm on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find me at David S. Winston. Also, you can find my book at my website, davidswinston.com. It's available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and other places where books are sold. So check it out. I really believe it'll bless you.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, you have it here. Thank you all for attending another episode of The Big Bang. Hopefully you all enjoyed this episode today. I want to give another huge shout out to our sponsors at Got Success. Make sure you all check out gotsuccessstore.com for everything success. Tune in every Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time to check us out. Thank you so much. You all have a supernatural week. Have a super blessed day, and we'll see you all next time. Peace. Okay.